And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday, not Monday. It is Tuesday, March 5th. We have Mike from the Bar Book here on the show. If you've noticed over the last couple of days, we've been teasing this episode and sending out some stuff. And you see Mike with his wonderful wife, Dolly. Unfortunately, Dolly is not with us on the episode today. She had other things that needed to get taken care of. So we have Mike here. Great conversation, guys. This is one of those conversations where after it was all said and done, I texted Mike and I was like, damn, that's the kind of episode we strive for here. And you're in for a good one. You know, we talk everything about, you know, the Bar Book and what he's doing there. And, you know, then we get into life and, you know, kids and divorce and, you know, everything that makes us human, everything that makes us connected. In full transparency, you're going to hear a little bit about my personal life in this episode. Some things I'm going through that I don't typically like to put out there. But, you know, the conversation just struck. And again, like I said, like there's no negative thoughts or feelings in this episode. There's no anger or animosity or anything. You know, just talking about some things that are going on in my personal life that... it was nice to kind of bounce off somebody that has also gone through something similar. So a big thank you to Mike for that. It is my birthday week, so thank you for being here. If it's your first time here, welcome. Boots and Whiskey Podcast on everything social media-wise. Our website is bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. We got all kinds of cool stuff. We're actually going to put a bunch of stuff up there that I haven't gotten around to yet because I'm lazy. And well, not because I'm lazy. I just have a lot of shit going on, but we'll get it up there. I promise. This past weekend we did nothing. The weekend before we did PBR. I was sick. Remember, I was sick. Anyway, a big thank you again to Chase Butler for being here last week. Mike is this week, and then next week, who do we have? Oh, I can't tell you. I'll tell you later. But yeah, so again, thanks for being here. Remember, here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, you know, we just do it raw. That sounded bad. You know what I meant. We, you know, there's nothing planned. What you're about to hear is exactly what you got or what we got in the episode. So Mike, thank you. And now I'm rambling. So I'm just going to say, fuck it and enjoy the show, guys. And we'll see you on the other side. Take care. Thanks. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant. Check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Hi, man. Hey, not a whole lot. How are you?
Oh, you know, I've been battling a head cold for the last couple of days, so if I sound like shit, that's why. it was an interesting weekend. We were supposed to be super busy, and it turned into only being half busy. So, you know, here we are.
Hey, it's sometimes that's the way it goes.
Yeah, man, we had a back-to-back days of PBR we were supposed to cover,
right?
And then we had a Tanner Usray last night. And I literally left PBR Saturday night shivering, could not get warm. I got home. I had like 103 fever. I was like, what the hell is going on? And then I was like, I'm not doing anything on Sunday. I'm going to just recover. And then like Sunday around 3:30, 4 o'clock, like I got like a second wind and I was like, all right, I'm going to the show.
Yeah, those are the worst, man. When you've got the shivers and you're, you know, battling it out, it is, yeah, that is totally the worst.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks so much. But you know what? We live to see another day, I guess.
That's right.
So thanks for being here. You are episode 2 of season 10, which is mind-blowing to me. So thank you for being here.
Hi, congratulations on season 10. And
thanks, man. It's been a ride. It's been a ride. So yeah, you know, this is just, we're gonna just shoot the shit like I told you, and you know, I'm gonna leave it up to you. I'm gonna let you tell your story, how you got into what you're doing, and the whole nine yards. So I'm gonna turn it right over to you.
Awesome. Well, hey, again, thanks for letting me be on here and tell this story. I think it's awesome. So yeah, the bar book, wow, it's been a ride. We've been doing this for just over a year. And, you know, my wife and I are super stoked and a little nervous at the same time, because it's about ready to hit the App Store. It's going to go, hopefully in the next week or two, it's going to come out on the App Store. We're just waiting on, you know, the final approvals from Google and Apple and, you know, everybody else to release it. But
nice.
So the bar book started out as an idea. So I'm, you know, retired military. And as I was ending my career, I started to, you know, be introduced to some, you know, bourbon and tequila and some, you know, some pretty, at least what I thought at the time, was very high-end stuff. You know, the majority of my career in the military and, you know, from coming up from a young kid, my biggest, you know, cocktail that I've ever had was like a Jack and Coke, you know what I mean? Yeah. Rum and Coke or something, you know, whatever bottom shelf bourbon or whiskey or rum or whatever you could find. And you mix it with juice or Coke until it tasted better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how it starts, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, so as I'm ending my career, I, you know, 20 something years in, and these guys are showing me some cool bourbons and I'm enjoying the tasting of them and everything. And I'm like, but you guys are all leaving and I won't have you to tell me what I'm going to drink next and what I'm going to like and what flavors and all these little things that they're telling me about. And I'm like, I can't afford to, you know, buy $100 bottles all the time and then maybe like it or don't like it. Right.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah.
So we decided, you know, I was going to look for an app, look for some sort of version of this thing that would do it. And I searched for a while and really just couldn't find something that did it for everything. I saw a lot of things that I could record, you know, like rate and reviews and basically write down my own notes. But, you know, all honesty, right? I'm not the guy that can tell you whether I tasted pecan or vanilla or caramel or raspberry or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? I can tell you whether I like it or don't.
Yep.
But I'm not the guy that can pick out all those little things, right?
Nope. Daddy's, I'm with you, man.
Right. So I was like, well, you know, that's great. I can tell you if I like it, but I don't really know all those pieces. So my girlfriend at the time, she's now my wife, we started talking about this a little bit and she goes, you know, what if, you know, I tasted them and we looked at them and we started doing it this way, because she's got the palate, right? Like, she's a foodie, she's a wine drinker, and she can tell you all those little nuances. I can't. And so we started talking a little bit more, and then we started going into, well, let's build something that does this for us. Talk to friends, talk to family. You know, some were very supportive and like, man, that's cool. And then others were like, dude, you've lost your mind. Nobody will want this. Even the ones that were supportive were like, somebody's already done this. Like, you just haven't done your research. Somebody's put this together already. And I'm like, no, seriously, they haven't. I haven't found it. And so I had a few friends that went and searched and scoured, you know, the web and everything else looking for this. And they're like, no, man, you're right. Nobody else has done this. That's crazy. So we hired a developer and started building. And, you know, we're on our second development team and a year later, and here we are about ready to hit the app stores. And like I said, I'm super excited. This thing is ready to go.
Nice. So how did you decide to build it the way you wanted to?
So, well, I guess the first off is to tell you what it's going to do. So right when you click on a bottle, that you like, or a bottle period, right? Doesn't matter. You haven't liked it. You haven't rated it. You haven't done anything with it. You just click on a bottle. It's going to tell you, you know, the name of it, where it was made, who's the distillery, all those kind of, you know, pedigree information for that bottle. But it's also going to tell you the tasting notes. And that's not just bottles. It'll do beers, liqueurs, seltzers, mixers, like all those kind of things. It's going to tell you all that stuff, the tasting notes, you know, what does it smell like? What does it taste like? What does it finish like? And all those pieces of information come from the brewers or the distillers or the manufacturers. They all have those notes somewhere online. So we just took those notes, put them in into this big database of information. And as you like, you know, one, you know, you rate it high on your scale or low on your scale, the, you know, the software is learning what you like, and then it's going to start suggesting things that kind of fit that.
Sick.
So the idea comes from, you know, think of the way, same way music sharing apps work, right?
Like
you start listening to, you know, country music, and then you go on this kick for a long time and you're, you know, man, I'm listening to Lainey Wilson, and I'm listening to Chris Stapleton, and I'm listening. And then the next thing you know, Spotify is kicking you another song of an artist you didn't know that was out there, and they're just shooting it over to you, and you're like, oh yeah, that is good. And then you like it, and then they'll give you five or six more down that same kind of road.
Yeah, that's exactly how this show started.
Right. So this is how this is that. I mean, that's how we're doing it for alcohol.
Yeah, that's awesome. So are you going to be able to like? Like if let's say I'm at the liquor store, right, and I see a bottle and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to like this, yada, yada, yada. Can I scan it and it pops up and says, you know, this is comparable to what you've had before?
Not yet.
We
do want that, right? So I want the bottle scanning and, you know, so there's a similar wine sharing or wine kind of thing that does the bottle sharing. And I so want that tech, right, from what they do. But this is a think of this as, you know, PlayStation version 1, Gen 1, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
This is coming out the door. We're not at PlayStation 5 yet. We're trying to get there. We want to, you know, we want to be the same. We have the dream of PlayStation 5. We're just not there yet.
Sure, sure. Now, so when you're collecting all this data, right?
Yep.
How do you know where to start? Like, what? Where did you start?
So I started by searching the bottles that I enjoyed. That's where I started. So I first went off of and started building the database off of, I mean, so let's back this up. The database is hand built right now. Literally it is sitting in front of a computer, cutting and pasting and typing and building all of this information. So all the products that are on the site right now are hand built. It's like I said, it started with the ones that I liked, that my wife liked, that a couple friends liked and suggested, but then it grew into let's go regional, right? So let's start looking in my backyard. So I looked a lot of Virginia and DC. And then I had friends who were in other parts of the country who were like, hey, you need to make sure to add these guys or whatever. And so, I mean, it's just growing from there. A lot of searching for brands. I've got a lot of the mainstream name brands, but our goal has always been from the beginning to introduce you to the local bottles, the local breweries, the local distilleries, the, you know, the ones that don't get as much quote unquote airtime, right?
Yeah.
They don't have the huge budgets, so they can't afford, you know, a spot on your favorite social media, whatever. So they're just working away. We're looking for those brands right off the bat. I mean, cause remember, our product is all about flavors. So we don't distinguish between a $1 billion advertising budget or a $5 advertising budget. It doesn't matter. To us, it's all about what are the flavors. And that's how users find out about brands.
I love that. I love the way you're doing that. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. That's like I said, that the, you know, the goal is to level the playing field, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it from, you know, you're up in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
Right. So think about it, like there are certain bottles up in Massachusetts that are either easy to get or hard to get.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So like in Virginia, Buffalo Trace, Eagle Rare, you know, a couple of those big name brands, they're a pain to find. They only come in drops, right? Yep. Like our ABC stores will do a drop, and you will literally find people camping out in front of the liquor stores at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, hoping that when it opens at 10, they get the first bottle.
Right.
That is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Because while I love Buffalo Trace and I love Eagle Rare and I love some of those big name brands, and I think they're fantastic, and if you give me it, I'll drink it. Right. I'm not waiting out at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No,
no,
nope.
I will buy the bottle that tastes similar from the local brand that's out there, just because why not? I'm supporting a small business, supporting a local business, and it's not hard to get. I don't have to wait in the cold. So, you know, but you go other places and those bottles are everywhere on the shelves, right? Like you can just buy it tomorrow if you want.
Right. Yeah. And then when they do get up here or wherever, you know, wherever you are, and they're hard to find, they jack up the price so much that you're, you know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. The secondary market on bottles is ridiculous.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
So, side note, right? You've heard of Old Fitzgerald, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, Old Fitzgerald, when I first had a sampling of Old Fitzgerald, I fell in love and was like, this is amazing. So, I called my wife at the time and I was like, hey, sweetheart, if you ever find Old Fitzgerald anywhere, like you just happen to be traveling, whatever, you find it, buy it. Like, just buy me a bottle. We'll worry about it later. So we're both in South Carolina visiting her father and doing some things down here. And she sees a bottle at a liquor store and she says, hey, they got one of those bottles you were talking about here. It's $450 for that. But I don't know if that's good or that's bad. And I'm like, let me go look. So I went over there and looked, and it is Old Fitzgerald 19 year. It is sitting on the shelf. Out on the shelf, not like behind a cabinet, not behind the register, like just out in the open, sitting on a shelf. And I stared at it for at least a good 10 minutes. And then finally I was like, I can't bring myself to spend $400. I just can't do it. I can't do it. So I walked away. And she was like, no, we're going back. So she went back and it was already gone.
Oh.
And she was like, that's ridiculous. So I was like, well, it just wasn't meant to be, whatever. I feel better. I didn't spend $400. Well, she being the good wife, she went back and talked to the manager and she's like, you going to get another one of those in? He's like, yeah, we're getting a couple more on Tuesday. And she's like, I'll be back Tuesday when you open. Sure enough, Tuesday when they opened, she was back there. She bought me a bottle. I saw that same bottle in DC, Washington, DC, going for $2,300.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm like, I should just sell it, but I didn't. I drank it. It was it's fantastic, by the way. But
yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've got some bottles that I haven't opened yet that, you know, it's the same kind of thing where it's like, do I want to open this couple $100 bottle right this second? You know. And then, like, my wife will be like, why don't you just sell them? I'm like, what are you crazy? I'm not selling these. And so it's wild.
You know, I used to have the same kind of mentality, you know, have the bottles, store them, keep them. And I meet a lot of people that do the same thing, right? Like they store them and keep them. What I've learned is that is a uniquely American viewpoint on liquor, on valuable liquor and viewpoint, and, you know, and those kind of things. And it was, again, my wife, she gets a lot of credit for a lot of things. She's amazing. But it was, you know, she had been some places and done some things. And she was telling me this story about some people she was hanging out with. And they were like, look, you don't save the bottle for the occasion. The bottle becomes the occasion, right? Like you just, you know, you're alive. It's a day. Like, enjoy it. Because right. What happens? You get in a car accident tomorrow. You had all those bottles you never got to try.
Yeah. But
you're alive. Today, the sun came up and it's a great day. You're with your family. You're with friends. You're with whatever. Crack it open and enjoy it. And from that kind of stance, the only bottles I have reserved are autographed ones that kind of have some sort of sentimental value to me. After that, yeah. I've opened everything.
Well. Now I guess I got to just start opening everything.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you just bring some friends over, you know, some family over and just be like, you know what, tonight we're going to crack open this bottle just because we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great way to just kind of look at it and just enjoy the now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I gotta, that's a great way to look at it. That's a great, great way to look at it. Cause you're right. We don't do that in this country. Like, we just are like, nope, I'm going to hoard everything so that you can't get to it. And it's mine.
Yeah. And I mean, for what purpose? I mean, it sits on a shelf, and I think everybody's looked in one of these, you know, bourbon groups online or even tequila groups online where they're like, I was cleaning out my grandma's house and or my grandpa's house, and I found this bottle from, you know, 1950, whatever. Is it any good? Is this a great brand or whatever? And it's like, yeah, grandma should have drank that.
Yeah.
She should have enjoyed the hell out of that. But
yeah,
now you do.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. That's a great point. Because now, you know, now I have some things on my shelf that have been sitting there, you know, a year and a half, 2 years at this point. So yeah.
What's your favorite? So like, if you had to pick your favorite bourbon, you know, or whiskey even, what is your favorite?
So if we're going bourbon, and this isn't because they are a partner of the show, but 10th Mountain out of Vail, Colorado, their bourbon is fantastic. I'm not much of a bourbon guy. I don't, you know, I haven't, you know, I like Eagle Rare. I like Blanton's. I like Buffalo Trace, you know, I like those guys, but outside of that, I haven't really sat with bourbon enough to.
So 10th Mountain does a American single malt.
Yeah,
and I am not an American single malt guy. Like, just, you know, there's a few that I can get over this, that, and the other. A friend of mine had a bottle of that. He went out to Colorado, picked up one, brought it back, and he was like, "You got to try this," and you know, I'm a fan. Like, I could drink that one. Like, there's many that I've tried that I'm like, you know, if that's all there is.
Yeah.
But that one I'm a fan of. So, you know, that's cool that they're your sponsor. Cause that's also a, they said, I like that bottle from there. I don't know that I've had a bourbon from them.
They have a hell of a rye too. I've really gotten into ryes. I like, you know, for me, they have like a sweetness to them,
mm-hmm.
which I really, really enjoy. And you know, for me, I really like Tennessee whiskeys. Those are my favorite.
Okay.
I haven't had a Tennessee whiskey I don't like.
I mean, you know, you're right there with bourbon. I mean, Tennessee whiskey is just bourbon plus a step.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm on the cusp. I just,
that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, my favorite rye, and I know it's a big brand and, you know, whatever, but my favorite rye is, Angel's Envy's, the rye they do, the port barrel finish.
Yeah. Okay.
That one's just got some sweetness to the, I keep that in the house as much as I can.
Yeah. For me, for the big brands of rye, Bullet is my go-to. So
Bullet is a go-to for, especially if I'm doing an old fashioned. Bullet rye and an old fashioned. That's, you know, look for it everywhere I go.
Yep. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. If I'm drinking it neat, I'll go with Angel's Envy, but Bullet rye is my, put it in an old fashioned.
Yeah. Yeah. What I love when I go out and, you know, I order an old fashioned and they're like, what kind of bourbon you want? I'm like, no, what do you have for rye? And they're like, what? I'm like, what do you mean? What? Don't you what me?
They're like, but it says on the card here that I'm supposed to mix it with bourbon.
Right.
And yeah. Well,
yeah. And I'm sure there's cards out there that you see that they put soda water in it too. You do that, I'll fucking throw it at you.
Oh my gosh. I hate when they do that.
Oh my God. That's
so many places where it's so like, many. They're like, oh, here, they put this splash. And I'm like, what did you just do?
Yep. Yep.
And they're like, but it says I put a splash of the water. And I'm like, Just go ahead and make that over.
Right.
I don't want that.
I work a couple of nights doing, I host trivia a few nights a week. And
nice.
One of the bars I used to go to, the bartender there, I used to bust on her all the time. And that's how she made her old fashions. She, you know, and I was like, what the hell did you do to this? She's like, well, I put soda water in it like I'm supposed to. I'm like, what? No. With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
Don't do that ever again.
So, you know, call it what you want, but I will say that I am a little bit of an old-fashioned snob. My wife and I grew very close over bourbon with old fashions, and it has to be a Luxardo cherry, or at least, you know, you can do a Woodford one or whatever, but the dark syrup, dark cherries.
Yeah. Like,
don't give me that bright red candied crap from, no, you know, whatever. Right. I don't want one of those.
Nope.
I do not like it when they muddle the orange in the bottom and then leave it there.
No, nope, me neither.
I don't want that either. Like,
nope.
You know, do it right and let the whiskey kind of, you know, tell its own story as you're drinking it. And that is a great drink.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know if you've seen it. I'm sure you have because it's out there. But Bullet, they make a old fashioned like mix kind of thing.
Yes.
And I, you know, honest to God, I drink that pretty regularly because I'm lazy. And it's great.
That's a thing, man. Ready to drink cocktails and even ready, you know, mixers, if you will, that are, you know, all, you know, 90% there. They're booming in popularity.
Yeah.
The amount of people that are looking for those is crazy. But, you know, so that's another way that the barbecue kind of helps is because some of those are very good. Some of those are awesome. And some have so many chemicals and,
that's true,
you know, shelf stable, you know, things in them to make them, you know, distributing and whatever, that they're just crap. I mean, you try them and you're like, this does not taste like anything I want.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, we've tried a bunch as we've gone out, you know, ourselves, like I said, my wife and I love to go out to bars and talk to bartenders and kind of just, you know, hear their stories and kind of find the things they do in their drinks. It's like I said, I love that part of this, you know, this business is learning about the people, the stories, the drinks, I'm sure you get the same, like, you know, your podcast is right along that same avenue.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times we've gone from, you know, talking about whatever the topic at hand is to something totally not even close to what we were talking about.
Sure. I mean, that's the way it is, man. It's just people having a great time over a great cocktail, and that's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, so you were talking about, you know, how you're retired military.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for your service. It's
I appreciate it.
You know, not overlooked here, that's for sure. So what branch of the military were you in?
Yeah, so actually my wife and I both are retired. We served in the Army. She was she did 21 years, I think, and some change, and I did 23 and some change. And we got out. She decided to stay, you know, working for the federal government and still making a difference, you know, doing what she does every day. She got, you know, took a job as a civilian, working for the government. And I decided that, you know what, we're going to take a gamble on us and we're going to go after building this app and kind of go that direction. So it's, you know, service continues, I guess is what we say, but yeah, Army was where we started.
Nice. That's awesome. That's really great. You know, my grandfather was a Marine, and I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't have it in me. I just don't. I'll tell you that right now. So anybody that goes into that or, you know, any sort of, you know, first responder kind of thing, like, my hats are off to them because.
You know what? So it didn't start out that way, right? It never starts out that way. So the 17, 18 year old kid that decides they're going to join the military, it never starts out the way of, you know, I think I really have this in me to do these great things. It usually starts out with the story of something like, I need to get my stuff together and I needed to figure myself out. And it seemed like a good idea at the time, or, you know, I needed money for college, or I needed a job. And, you know, it usually starts out with some simple story like that.
Yeah.
And then it morphs as you, you know, especially as you make it a career and make it a lifestyle, it morphs into what you're talking about. Like the, no, man, I stayed because I believed what I was doing and I wanted to be a part of this and whatever. And yeah, I mean, you know, the people I served with, you know, throughout my time, they're all great. They're fantastic. They're like brothers and sisters to me everywhere I go. And I still keep in touch with them. And I, you know, love every minute of my service. You have, just like any other job, right? You have good times and bad times, but I'll tell you what, the good times in it far outweighed the bad times, and the bad times just made cooler memories.
Yeah.
So, everybody's, I'd say everybody's built for it. You just don't know you're built for it until you do it. But you know what? It's also not for everybody.
No, it's definitely not for me. I'm a puss.
My brother was like, when we were younger, he goes, I'm going to do it. And he was ready. Like, he was going to do the Air Force, but then he had glasses. And so the Air Force was like, dude, you can't fly a plane if you got, you know, eye issues. And he's like, well, screw it. I'm not doing it if you won't let me fly.
So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The first time somebody would yell at me, I'd be like, nope, fuck this. I'm out of here. Nope. Can't do it. You ain't yelling at me.
Yeah. You know, I thought the same thing. And then later on in my career, I got to be the guy that got to yell.
That's awesome. So what made you go in?
That is a, you know, hey, look, you're getting a podcast exclusive. So I'll tell you this.
Sweet.
So my career in the alcohol industry cringes my mother, because my Army career started out around the alcohol industry. So when I was, I think I was 17, I received a citation for minor consumption.
You bad boy,
Michael. I know. All right. So I got arrested for drinking underage. And I always wanted to join the military. I just thought it was cool. I wanted to be a lawyer at that time. And I was like, I could go in the Army. I could go be a lawyer. I could do this. And the reason I loved the idea of being a lawyer, but my uncle was, you know, a Green Beret, you know, back in the 80s and whatever. So I was like, I want to combine those two. And that's what I want to do. Well, I was also a dumb 17-year-old. And so I get arrested and I get this minor consumption. And I still want to go in the military, but I've got this kind of court thing hanging over me too, right? And so I was in a small town. You know, small towns do things a little differently than large cities. And long story short, there was a deal worked out that basically if Michael shipped to basic training, we'd drop all his charges. So Michael shipped his little butt to basic training and left that small town and didn't look back.
Damn.
So awesome. one of the last few stories of, you know, go to the Army or go to jail. There were very few people in my career. I mean, I made it all the way up to being a sergeant major in the Army, which is, you know, the highest enlisted rank. And there are very few people that throughout my career knew that story, right? That's how I started. And for various reasons, but most of them because I didn't need my young soldiers to understand that, you know, Sergeant Major started as a, you know, a young kid that got in a lot of trouble.
Right. Right. Wow, that's cool. That's funny.
It is.
So as you, you know, because what do you, when you went in, how long did you have to sign up for?
So when I signed up, my initial contract was 6 years because I initially signed up in the Army Reserve. Okay. And I was like, you know, maybe I'll do the reserve and see if I like this or not. And I joined the Army Reserve. I went to basic training. I went to, you know, my training after that. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I was just like, I'm at home. Yeah, I know there's people yelling at you, but basically I got to go get up every morning. I worked out with some friends. We went and did cool stuff every day. And then, you know, I was so tired, I just went to sleep at night. When I got out of all of my training and went back to the real world, as an Army reservist, I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. What do you mean I'm doing this 1 weekend a month? I thought I was doing this for real. And so I eventually changed over to active duty, and I was like, I'm going back. Like, I can't do the reserves because I want to be 100%. But I will tell you, you know, the reserve, I look back and I say, you know, man, I understand the people that stay in the reserves because it's great if you have two careers. I was a, you know, I was a young kid that couldn't have managed two careers. You know, again, I was, by the time I graduated, I think I just turned 18, and there was no way I was smart enough to manage an Army Reserve career and some sort of civilian career, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I just need to be in the Army. So I did. And yeah, that's, you know, 23 years later, I retired.
So I'm trying to do the math, and forgive me if I'm way off, right? So you must have enlisted before 9/11, right?
I did. So okay. I enlisted at 17 before 9/11. I shipped in, I enlisted in March 10th of 2000.
All right. All right.
And then I retired in October of 2023, just last year.
Well, wow. So you go in March of 2000, right?
Yep.
Do you get around – does it come around for you like it's like September, you know, September 11th of 2001, and do you go, oh, shit? Like
– no, because, I mean, so at that point, you know, I'm indoctrinated and I'm bought in.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I am, I'm 100%, and you got to remember, I'm 18 years old. So, you know, somebody tells me that I get to go to war, and I say, get to go to war. Right. Somebody tells me that I get to do that. I'm like, sweet. You know, I'm leaving right. this town and I'm going to places unknown to do whatever they want me to do. And that's kind of what I thought. So yeah, 9/11 happens. And yeah, I mean, you know, there's a somber, you know, I can't believe this happened to the world, right? I can't believe this happened to us. You know, I'm going to have to leave. But at the same time, I'm also looking at it from a perspective of, you know, I'm still in the same small town, so I get to leave and I get to do my part. Like, I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was 14 in 2001. Yeah, 14. So we're not too far off from each other.
So 2001, yeah, when that happened, yeah, I was, yeah, okay, yeah, we're not far off.
No, yeah, I had just started my freshman year of high school, so yeah. You know, I remember, you know, thinking to myself, you know, if this was 4 years later, I probably would have enlisted and gone and yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, with the way the world works, right? When that 4 years did come around, it was like, nope, fuck that. Nope, I ain't going. Nope.
Well, I mean, so that you know, that's the way it goes, right? You know, some people want to be a part of it, some people don't, and some people don't know enough to be or to not be, right? You just you really go off the, you know, your family, your experience, your exposure with your friends. I mean, I had family members that were 100% behind the fact that I was in the military and supporting me.
Yeah.
And the minute that I came home, you know, back from, you know, the war, as they would call it, right? And I'd come back and I'd start talking to their kids about, man, you should do this thing. They're like, no, don't you ever. They're like, that's for somebody else. Yeah. But at the same time, they're like, oh my gosh, Michael, that was awesome. You did this.
Right. 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 You know, it's funny. My 8-year-old, he says it all the time. He goes, Dad, I want to go in the Army. I'm like, you're 8. I'm like, that's great, but you're 8. Like, how, like,
yeah,
you know, but, and I, you know, we don't really have any family that's in it, you know, but he just has like this innate desire. I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And so, you know, the great thing about the Army, and I, you know, I'm doing my plug for them as well, you know, the coolest thing that I can tell any young kid that's thinking about it is I retired from the military after 20 years. So, you know, I was in the reserves a little bit first and then I went through. So at 40 years old, I retired and was able to start another career.
Right.
So, you know, getting benefits, drawing a paycheck, all those kind of things. that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Right.
So, I mean, so if you're a young kid and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to be a part of this, just think about the, you can do this. And if you want to walk away after your first enlistment, go for it. Great. Be done. But if you, you know, like it, stay, because the benefits on the back end, kind of worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. You know, I kind of was joking about, you know, the enlisting and all that. Like, I'm not even sure that they would have taken me. I don't know if it's still this way, but, you know, wasn't there a time, I think it was during, you know, certain times, but, you know, being an only child and the only male to carry on the name, do they do that anymore?
You know, I don't know. I was never a recruiter, so I don't know those things, but I've heard that before too. So maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Huh. You know, then I remember, you know,
so I don't know.
Right. There was a time they started talking about a draft again, you know, while everything in Afghanistan was really getting hot and heavy.
Sure.
You know, on your end, was that ever, you know, anywhere close to being an actual consideration?
I mean, I don't think anybody in the Army, you know, at the time ever thought that was, you know, going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even if it would happen, the people on the ground are mostly thinking about, you know, the things they have to do that day. And that, you know, whether or not there is a draft is such a higher level conversation.
Yeah.
Most soldiers are like, I don't even know who makes that call.
Right.
I assume the president, maybe not. You know what I mean? Like they just are like, I'm here to work and I'm doing a job.
Yeah. Now, so for you, while you're climbing the ranks, and I know we're supposed to be talking about booze, but this is all comes together.
Hey, keep going, man. Keep going. We're good.
You know, as you climb that, you know, the quote unquote corporate ladder, right? Once you get to where you were, what, you know, let's say you wanted to keep going, what would have been next?
Well, so there were a couple job opportunities. Life gets in the way. So, you know, what's the famous saying, you know, tell God your plans and watch him laugh at you or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, you know, I had plans that I was going to be all these things in the military. I got it right. I was going to be at the top of the top. Well, you know, as I was in my last assignment, it's kind of where I made the decision to retire. I had been divorced. My kids were living with their mother or grown and gone. Right. And I started to think, you know, do you chase the next assignment or is, you know, do you just shut it down and go be a dad? And you know, that kind of was the hard decision for me. My son was at the time was, 10 years old and my youngest daughter was, 16. And then I had two girls that were, you know, moved out of the house. And so I was like, man, I don't want to try to be their dad from 2000 miles away. I want to be present. And, you know, whatever they offer me next, whatever job they give me, you know, it doesn't matter. And I had people tell me, they were calling me like, no, you should stay. You should do one more assignment. I promise you things are going to get better. We, you know, or the quote unquote company line, we need people like you. You're going to do great things. And I'm like, I love that. And I've done 23 years at that time. And I was like, but my family's ready for me to do time for them. And that's where the, you know, you just got to make that decision at some point. So that's kind of what led me to let's hang it up and retire.
Damn, man. Like, wow. You know, hearing that story and hearing you and hearing where you've come, you know, to, this is actually the first time I'm going to talk about it publicly. And I'm hopefully I don't get choked up talking about it. But, you know, my wife and I are going through the divorce motions. And it's hard, man.
No, it's so you're 100% right. It is extremely hard. It is a, you know, my wife and I, we went through ours. We were married for 18 years. The funny thing about it was, is as we officially decided to divorce, my middle daughter.
Now we got to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com. So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Water just came to me, and even my wife at the time, we were arguing, and she was like, I'm surprised you guys stayed together this long. Like, you guys should have been divorced a long time ago, right? You know what
wow.
I mean?
Wow.
Right? And it's like, well, we thought we were doing the right thing by them, right? Like, trying to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be for them.
Right.
But since the divorce, right? So I'm several years past divorce, and I will tell you that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it is a good light, and it is a great, you know, feeling. And, you know, life is too short to hold on to something that doesn't need to be held on to. If it's worth fighting for, fight for it. And if it's not, you know, cut bait and switch to a different lure, right?
Yeah.
I'm remarried, and my current wife, Dolly, she is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I will tell you that, you know, outside of my kids, right? Like, she is awesome. And even my kids, my daughters who are old enough to understand, have come to me and they're like, or come to her, and they've looked at her and said, I don't know who this guy is, but this is not the guy I grew up with. He's like so much happier, right? Like, he's, you know, all these things.
Damn.
And she's like, you know, and my wife now is like, that's the only guy I know. So, you know, anyway, I'm just telling you, man. You know, it may seem like you're going through hell, but go through it, and there's a better side on the other end for you, your kid, like the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where this is a one-sided kind of thing. Like, I don't want this, like, at all, right?
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of it is based on my own stupidity, you know, my lack of a lot of things, right?
Sure, I get
that. You know, and to her credit, she's held on as long as she could, you know, and she just can't do it anymore.
Well, so here's the thing, right? So all those kind of things, it will change her and you.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you may become better because this will shape you in a way going forward, which will make you that much better, you know, and improve your relationship with her and your son and all these kind of things. Right. And then, you know, eventually you're going to find whoever's next, and it's going to be awesome. And you're going to say, I don't know why I didn't find you sooner. And the answer to that is you weren't ready.
Right.
Right. Cause you got to screw up. I mean, think about it, like all the times that, you know, you screwed up in other things, you know? I'm going to bring it back. Like, I'll bring this full circle to the bar book. I think about all the things that I've screwed up along the way and all the jobs that I've done. I mean, before the military, I used to be, you know, I worked at Arby's. I worked construction. I did roofing to where I used to, you know, carry shingles up a ladder as a job. And then eventually I joined the military, and now, you know, here I am starting a company. And, you know, I learned through all those different experiences something different that helped and shaped this, right? And so, you know, like, man, it's going to get better, and it'll be awesome, and You and your son will appreciate it on the back end. Just be civil. And even the conversations that are hard and the ones where you and her won't agree, because those will happen, just remember that there's a little guy in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's maybe fortunately or unfortunately for my own psyche, I'm one of those people where it's like, I want an answer. I want a decision right now. Like, I don't like rip the Band-Aid off or keep it on, don't draw this out. So it's like, I do this stupid thing where it's like, I go to YouTube or I go to the internet and I'll type out my question and like watch a video on it. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, what? This is stupid. Like, this isn't going to work anyway. So what am I doing? But it's like a level of solace to me to be like, all right, maybe if I do these things, I can save everything, and it's like,
so here's the thing. If you've got to fight to save it, it isn't worth saving, right? Fight to have it. Fight to be in it. Fight to be a part of it. But if you're trying to quote unquote save it, let it go, man. Put that energy into the next thing. And, you guys, so I learned this again, hindsight's 2020, and my kids were eye openers to me, and I can say this now, because when I was where you are, dude, I would have fought tooth and nail, right? And I would have, I'll change a dozen different things to figure this out. But I will tell you that my kids, in telling me the hindsight, they're like, you should have done this, 10 years earlier, right? Or whatever. And I didn't understand that until later. But man, they see things that I didn't see.
Yeah.
Even friends, like after I divorced, there were friends that came out and they were like, oh gosh, man. We wanted to tell you we thought the same way as you think, but we didn't. And I'm like, why not?
Right. Like,
seriously, if we would have told you what we thought, would you have listened to us or would you have cut us off?
Yeah.
And I mean, they're right. Because if I'm watching a friend in a marriage that I don't think they should be in, if I go to my friend and I'm like, dude, get rid of your wife, my friend is going to get rid of me.
Yeah.
Because his wife is going to say, your friend just wants to break us up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's.
Yeah. Dude,
life is too short to try to make each other miserable. If you are not completely happy with the person you're with, then go be happy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that over, small things, right? Like you and I, you understand this. Somebody forgets to pick up dinner because they were running late at work. That's not a reason for divorce and separation and all those things like that. Like, I got that. But, if it's, foundational issues or core issues, then move on, man. Don't try to change their values and your values, because one of you is going to be miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Damn, like, why did I bring it up, man?
Hey, brother, look, this is why we do it.
That's
we get
right.
to talk. Like I said, when you get to hang out with, whiskey or beer or whatever, and you're talking to people, man, everybody gets to be, a counselor to somebody else, right?
That's true.
They say the bartender is part counselor, part drink server.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. So, all right, let's kind of bring this home now.
Hey, bring it home, man.
So we've got by the time this comes out, so this will be a week from pretty much today. This comes out, so it'll be March 5th. In a perfect world, it's March 5th. It's the day after my birthday. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. I'm so egotistical, right?
Yeah.
That's part of another reason. Anyway, in a perfect world, is the app coming out this week or next?
So in a perfect world, March 5th, the app should – hold on, I'm looking at the calendar just to make sure that I'm speaking correct. In a perfect world, the app is either out or imminent.
Okay.
So my development team, shout out to them, Naked Development, the team over there – they are phenomenal, and they are, so anybody that is ever thinking about building an app, give them a call, look them up, Naked Development. John, John and Jason are the owners over there. Again, you don't know what you don't know, and those guys will tell you what you don't know.
Right. Right.
And they're honest, and they're straightforward. And like I said, I view them both as mentors at this point. I mean, you spend enough time with them, you've got to kind of assume them as that role.
Right.
So they are busting their butts, and they've got the whole team working hard to make a March 8th deadline that I set for them, because on March 9th, I have a whiskey walk promotion that I am joining with another group about. And so, the other group already had this event planned in DC, and they're, basically bar hopping about 8 or 9 bars and trying whiskeys at each place they go. And I was like, this is perfect. Phenomenal. I'm in. So I partnered with them, and, the bar book's going to help promote their event, and they're going to help promote the bar book. Genius. But like I said, the development team is trying to hit that mark of making March 8th live. Like I said, they're doing everything in their power. I have fully faith and confidence. So yeah, March 8th is hopeful that that's where we're at. So if you're listening to this on the 5th, we're there. Cool. If we're not there, man, we're right behind it. We're coming.
So if we're not there, right, if it's not out there right now, is there a way to like pre-save it so that when it is available, it's automatically downloaded?
Yeah. So if it's not there for whatever reason, right, we missed the mark, Google or Apple said, hey, we can't do this, go fix something. There is a website that is www.thebarbook.co. There is a web app version that is live. It is ready to go. You can rate and review. You can build your profile. You can do all the things that you can do on the app. It's just web version, which, as most people know, web versions aren't as clean and smooth as app versions. But right. It's there, right? It exists. Also, you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook at The Bar Book, and just keep up to date as we post information about releases and, different exclusives. So, I mean, that's where we're at. The bar book is going to be free to users, right? As of right now, we have no intention of charging users to download this app. This will be totally free.
That's awesome. So how does that work? How do you make an app free? Like, how is there no cost behind that?
Well, so, interesting you say that, right? Because we're talking about where does the money come from? So the app is going to be free. It's going to go on the store. Users can download it and play with it and use it and be free. Where we're going to make money, or where it's going to sustain itself, I don't want to say make money, but where we're going to sustain ourselves is advertising dollars, right?
Yeah.
Eventually we're going to turn on ads that people are going to build into the app and, share their whatever advertisements they got. My goal as, founder, CEO of The Bar Book is to make sure that those ads do not disrupt your user experience.
Right.
So I've been on so many other apps, games, whatever, and I've watched the way ads come in, and they're overwhelming. The amount of, if you even scroll through some web pages, you get pop-ups all over the place. You can't even view what you're trying to view because there's so many ads. I don't want that for The Bar Book. If that means we have to, cut profits a little bit and just tamp that down, then we will, and we'll figure out a way to do it. And I'm anxious for user feedback on that stuff as we eventually get there. I personally plan to read and review, even at my own peril, as I've been told, the reports of user comments on the app stores, to try to make sure that we're aware and watching what our consumers are doing and how it works. Because we do care. We don't want to be this, corporation in the sky that's like, screw them. They'll put something, they'll rate it anyway.
Right.
We don't want to be those guys.
No, right. Absolutely not. You never want to, You never want to piss people off.
Sure.
Well, Mike, I love what you're doing. I can't wait for the app to come out. It's going to be, you know, I can't wait because I love shit like this. I really do. And it's nice to hear that it's like all inclusive, you know, because you don't see that. Like you said, there's nothing out there like it.
Yeah. So I, you know, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I'm, like I said, super stoked, a little bit scared. I'll be, you know, honest, 100%. I'm a little bit scared because you're opening up your baby to the world, right? You just get a little nervous about letting everybody see it. And, you know, I hope everybody enjoys it. I hope everybody tries it, you know, downloads it, enjoy. Like I said, remember, if I can put this in perspective just a little bit at the end, it's like PlayStation 1. We're not PlayStation 5. We are building this, right? We're starting out and coming in. And the Bar Book wants user feedback because that's what we're going after to fix and develop and build and, you know, make available to you next. So give us your feedback. Tell us what we can do better. And that's where we're going.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Like I said, I can't wait. It's, you know, I'll be there from the beginning, man. It's going to be good.
Well, I look forward to it, and I'm happy you're a fan of the concept. I hope you're a fan of the reality, and you know, I will keep, you know, plugging your podcast away, especially as we get forward and move this thing on, because like I said, I love what you're doing too and sharing stories. I've listened to a few of your podcasts, and I think they're great. So
thanks, man. Yeah, appreciate
let's keep
it.
It going, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that a lot. I really do. And you know, whenever anything new comes up, let us know. We'll throw it out there, and you know, we'll keep the masses updated on our end too.
Yeah, like I said, I appreciate it, and you know, we'll talk soon for sure.
Hell yeah, absolutely. You know you have my number. You know,
I do.
Feel free anytime, Mike. Well, thank you so much for being on and telling us a story and getting into the nitty gritty about the military and divorce. And I'm going to go open my bottle of bourbon now and just drink myself to sleep. So thanks.
Enjoy it. I hope you have a good one.
Thanks. You too, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Mike from the Bar Book. Mike, again, thank you so much. Next time we got to get Dolly on the show, because I can only imagine the other half of this, probably the better half of this, right, Mike? I mean, let's face it, our wives, our significant others are definitely the better half of us, and I'm sure, like mine, yours is no exception. So again, thanks, Mike, for everything. You know, it was a real, real pleasure having you on the show and chatting like friends. You know, man, it's what I love about this show, and that's what I strive for. And you know, every time we can do an episode where I can say, you know what, that's a friend at the end of it, it's a good one to me. So thanks again, Mike, and thank you for everybody that tuned in today. Remember, Boots and Whiskey Podcast on all social media. bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is the website. So again, you know, like I said, here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country, or real booze, man, you know, with this one. So again, thank you. And until we see you next week for episode of the podcast, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Enjoy your week. Cheers, guys. See you next Tuesday. Good night.